Hey there, folks. Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello. Welcome back. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me as we now wrap up our Bible study series in the book of Colossians. We're here in Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through to the end. The final greetings, closing exhortations. I never really gave much attention to these things in Scripture. They're the end of most letters, but there is so much that we can learn from it. And as I went through it, I thought, yes, I'm going to include this. I want to share this with you also. So it's going to be a quicker video. And if you've got your pen and paper, great. Maybe take a few notes. Might need to pause because I'm going to go through this quickly along the way. But I'll also copy and paste, if they'll fit, the notes that I have and the cross references into the message section here, the description on the YouTube video. So let's quickly get into it. I'm not even going to read the whole thing first this particular time because, well, it's pretty self-explanatory. Paul, as he starts to wrap up, he gives these greetings. He gives a shout out to all of these different people who have helped and who have served in ministry with him along the way. So we see the first one here, chapter 4, verse 7, Tychius, and I'll just do my best as far as pronunciation goes. He says, Tychius, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. So obviously he's with Paul. He is a trusted companion. He's often used as a messenger, sharing and delivering the letters and just the news of what's been happening. Paul calls him beloved. Paul calls him faithful. Paul calls him a fellow servant. I mean, yeah, who wouldn't want that from the Apostle Paul or the pastor, even at your own church, or one of the elders, or perhaps the team leader? Yes, this is good to live up to. Now, if you've got your pen and paper handy and want to jot down the other references, we can learn a bit more about Tychius. In Acts chapter 20, verse 4, we see that he also traveled with Paul on his way to Jerusalem. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21-22, he is sent to encourage the church at Ephesus. In 2 Timothy 4:12, sent by Paul to Ephesus, so he writes about there again, and from Titus 3:12, he's mentioned as a possible replacement for Titus in Crete. So Tychius is a man of God. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a chance to talk with him and just share and glory in the things of God. Then we continue, I'm sending him to you, this is Tychius, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. So Paul sends him not just with the news, but with an instruction for pastoral comfort. And this is something, again, that we can learn from, that we can take with us, that we should be that person to bring comfort to other believers as well. In verse 9, we see Onesimus. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. So who is he? He is one of them. He's a runaway slave from Colossae, now a believer, returning home. And Paul describes him with dignity. Paul describes him with love. We see also in Philemon, verses 10 through 16, a central figure in Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul calls him my son, and he urges Philemon to receive him no longer as a slave, but as a beloved brother. In verse 10, we meet Mark, also Jesus called Justice. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. He's a Macedonian from Thessalonica, a loyal companion of Paul, even in prison. And we do see other references to him also. Acts chapter 19, verse 29, he's amongst those who were dragged by the mob in Ephesus. Acts 20, verses 4, also 27 and 2, travel with Paul to Jerusalem and then, of course, to Rome. And in Philemon 24, he's mentioned as a fellow worker. We're getting a bit an interesting picture now of these people and their actual lives. This is what I like about this. This is what I found fascinating. It brings to life people involved with the building of the New Testament church. And then we see Mark or John Mark. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. So early missionary companion, this is interesting, of Paul, who initially then abandoned them. We see that in Acts chapter 13, but then was later reconciled. We see him mentioned again, Acts chapter 12, also verses 12 and 25, where he's first introduced. And just quickly, I think also, not in my notes here, but by memory, when Peter was released from prison by the angel, he went to, I think it was the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. In Acts chapter 15, verse 37, 39, we see that Mark causes some division between Paul and Barnabas. 2 Timothy 4:11 says, Paul says, but he is now useful for me in the ministry. And in 1 Peter 5:13, he's close to Peter. Maybe even some would surmise the source of Peter's gospel teachings, leading, of course, then to the gospel of Mark. We see Jesus called justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are among the circumcision. So a Jewish Christian who worked alongside Paul. Very little else known of him. I think this is the only place where he is mentioned in Scripture. And in Colossians chapter 4, we also see verse 12, Epaphras. Epaphras we see beginning of Colossians as well. Do you remember? Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, he greets you. He's a Colossian believer. Probably, we believe, planted the Colossian church, described as a prayer warrior, deeply committed to their spiritual growth. Other references, beginning of Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, a faithful minister, and Philemon 23, identified as Paul's fellow prisoner. And then we meet Luke and Demas. Luke is the beloved physician, and Demas, of course, he greets you. Now, just between you and me, I've never actually referred to my doctor and called him beloved. But Paul writes this of Luke. Luke also being the author of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts. Paul's personal physician and a very loyal companion. Interesting, I think I read one time that by words, volume of words, Luke's writings are actually greater than Paul's. I don't know if that's true or not, but just a thing along the line. Other references here, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes, only Luke is with me. Things are getting tough now as he's coming to the end of his time there in Timothy. And Philemon 24 is referred to as a fellow worker. Now, I find it interesting that God gave Paul as a companion, as a friend and a fellow worker, a physician. Not a physician doctor by our standards, but certainly by those days, those standards. Many people would think that some of the needs Paul had were of a physical need, and this is why God gave him to him to be with him. Then we see Demas, who was once a companion of Paul, but later deserted him. In Philemon 24, called a fellow laborer, in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Colossians 4:15, we see Nymphas greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Now, of Nymphas, we don't know too much of Nymphas in Laodicea. Hosted a house church, yes. No other references, but we read about house gatherings in Romans 16:5. And then he finishes off, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is also read in the church of Laodicea, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So this letter was to be read by those in Laodicea, maybe an hour or two's walk away. There was a letter written to them. We don't have that in the canon of Scripture. We don't have that. Now, some will say, well, why not? Two ways to look at it. One, you say, well, they did decide it. If they even had it at the council, then some will say, okay, well, they decided that it shouldn't be in there. I'd say maybe they didn't have it, or I would say God didn't want it in here. I have no doubt that everything that we have in Holy Scripture is there appointed by God for our uplifting, for our benefit, for our instruction in righteousness, as we see in Scripture. Paul writes, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. And again, we don't know much more of Archippus. He's mentioned here, he's mentioned in Philemon. He was involved in ministry, he was appointed, if we can say that, by the Lord. That which you have received in the Lord, that you might fulfill it. But that could be a note to any of us, yes? That we might fulfill it, what we've been appointed to in our ministry. This could be a message to each and every one of us. And this salutation, he says, by his own hand, remember my chains. Grace and peace be with you. Amen. We know from other scripture that Paul often outsourced, if I can use that word, but just had a scribe write for him. We don't know that he had problems with his eyes. We surmise perhaps his vision was failing at times. Here he says, by my own hand, in another time, which is just the greeting there at the end. In another time, we see what large letters I have written this to you, to say I wrote this to you myself. I guess it's neither here nor there, but this section in Scripture brings these people to life for us. So let's wrap it up. The book of Colossians. Christ's supremacy over all, fully God, but in bodily form. The source of all spiritual life, the source of all authority. Yes. And we now, this is the key, the takeaway. We, as believers in Christ, lacking nothing, we must be careful not to be swayed by philosophies and doctrines and theories. We must be careful. Christ is sufficient. And Paul emphasizes this mystery now revealed, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That we are to put off the old life. That we are to put on the new, like taking off and putting off and putting on a coat, as I gave illustration. And then we see also practical wisdom. We see instruction on how to live out our faith in our relationships, in our workplace, in our families. What a book. This is worthwhile rereading at least once a year, after you've taken these notes for a fresh reminder. And to that then I will say, grace be with you. Yes. May the love of God dwell richly in your hearts by his mercy as he reveals himself to you through his word, Logos, that living word, inside you through the Holy Spirit. This is my prayer for you, folks. God bless. We'll talk soon.